Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives, sharing their expertise and life stories, making a difference one word at a time. Now, here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Stress levels everywhere have increased exponentially over the past couple of years. And that, of course, means that our immune systems, which support our physical, emotional, and mental well-being, have been really working extra hard to support us, in many cases taking a beating. And that can leave us feeling run down, deflated, burnt out, low energy, apathetic, more anxious than ever, more depressed than ever. The list of potential ailments is long and can lead to serious illness. So how do we get more energy? How can we develop more balance and that mind-body-spirit connection? How do we boost our immune system, realign our body to be pain-free, and create a practice to holistic, heart-filled wellness? Today's guest lives and breathes this on a daily basis. She is Melanie Salvatore August and joins us today to share insights from her great new book about how yoga can boost our immune system to create a healing change. And I want to say this right up front because I do not want to scare anyone off. You do not have to be in great shape to start this. You don't have to be super flexible or have special gear or a special room, just your special self. And you don't need to know anything about yoga to begin Melanie's practice to whole health. The secret is to start exactly where you are, free of judgment, free of expectation, just begin. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest. Melanie Salvatore August was first on our show a couple of years, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, with a beautiful little book called Fierce Kindness. And that's how I see Melanie, as fierce kindness. And I suspect that many other people do too. She's mother to 3 grown boys. She's a homesteader, a 30-year veteran yoga and meditation teacher and teacher trainer. She's also a Reiki master and the author of 2 earlier books, the one I already mentioned, Fierce Kindness, Be a Positive Force for Change, and Kitchen Yoga, Simple Home Practices to Transform Mind, Body, and Life. So that's what I mean when I say Melanie embodies this. She lives it and breathes it on a daily basis. You can find more about Melanie and her work at melaniesalvatoreaugust.com. She's someone I'm extremely grateful to have connected with and call friend, and I'm super thrilled about her new book, Yoga to Support Immunity, Mind-Body Breathing Guide to Whole Health. And here's my guest, Melanie Salvatore August. Melanie Salvatore August, welcome.
Hi, Vicki. Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, it is my pleasure. And this is so serendipitous too. And I'll explain why in a little while, because I want to talk about you and what brought you to this place and all that good stuff. I know our listeners have heard you a couple of times before on the show, but this is from a slightly different angle. The first thing I want to know is how the heck you found time and energy to write this book while raising 3 growing boys, homeschooling, homesteading, teaching yoga, all the while the pandemic was going on. Tell us how you coped with all of this.
Yeah, it makes me giggle because, I don't know, at least for me, I'm like always, I'm so busy. And then suddenly this kind of came in like a lightning strike. Like the idea came through me, actually based on autoimmune, and then it went into like signing the contract and starting the writing process very quickly. And it felt like it was not of my doing almost. It felt like of a universal collective, like here it's going. And that felt so passionate that I found myself not like, oh, I have to get up in the morning to write. It was like I must get up. So I was getting up very, very early. I'm an early riser, but it was early for me, you know, between 4 and 5 a.m., depending on the day. oftentimes without an alarm, just opening up my eyes and saying, time to write. And then I would write until 7-ish, until my kids, you know, needed help with breakfast and getting them onto their classes. And that's how it went. So I found that time before the sun rose.
Well, I think something was driving you, because I do think it's an important book. I love the fact that, you know, there are a million yoga books out there, but I love the fact that you focus on supporting immunity. And I think it's really important right now, because many of us, you know, our immune systems have been bashed, if not trashed, during the last couple of years with the amount of stress everybody's been under. And it was serendipitous for me, because I've been trying to get someone close to me to practice yoga because of some issues they're having. And it involves an autoimmune issue, we believe, at this point. And so I was like, yes. So I want to just touch on this, because you write on your website, you've got 3 kids under 6, 1, a newborn, and you were in a place where you were looking to heal yourself from imbalances, from an autoimmune disease, Hashimoto's hypothyroidism. I should have just left it at autoimmune disease. So, but tell you what was going on at that time with your life, and how are you feeling, and what led you to seek solutions yourself?
You know, it's fascinating, because, you know, at the time and looking back, it was a wonderful time. You know, it was a time of great abundance in so many ways. You know, I love my children, healthy relationship, a career I love or loved, you know, people, my parents, everyone are around and healthy and there. So just looking back, it was a time of fullness, and it was a time of me holding that fullness in expectation of myself and pushing. I mean, pushing it's a long-term deal for me. I feel like that's one of the stories of my life that I can track back. Oh, you're forcing this. You're not listening to yourself, and probably my dear family members will be like, you're not listening to us either, right?
Right.
So, you know, there's a theme, and at that time, things were going so well, yet physically my body was saying, slow down, you can't do anymore. I had my chin, all my kids were considered geriatric pregnancies, which that makes me giggle, but you know, any pregnancy after 35 is considered geriatric. I think they're stopping using that word, but I was told very clearly that these were that. So they, you know, I was old, right? You know, old for babies, and all of it took its toll. So I was indeed, you know, teaching full time, teaching teacher training, writing, had 3 really little, great little boys, lots of energy, taking care of a big house, you know, trying to keep it clean, all the things, but doing it all myself. Husband working really long hours. All of that, and just my body revolting, you know, hives from head to toe every day. No one could figure out why, you know, all these tests. And I just have these silver dollar, you know, welts on my body, and things that I've kind of dismissed, like acid reflux and deep sinus congestion, things that were like, oh, that's nothing. But altogether, it I'm not really feeling like I couldn't get out of bed at a certain point. Like, I'm so exhausted. All I wanted to do was lay down. And so I would, like, get those little matchbox cars with my littlest, you know, and I would just lay down because I could run the car with my arm and almost be falling asleep while we're playing. Like, not a good quality of motherhood and life for my kids. So that's a little snapshot, and I hit bottom.
So did yoga find you at that point, or did you find yoga?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. This is the thing, right? The thing you teach is the thing you need to learn.
Right.
I was already teaching yoga. I was already, you know, really sharing. And there were certain parts of it that I focused on heavily. It was more of a athletic, physically challenging practice that I was indeed doing and I was teaching. There were tools that I knew. I knew them intellectually. I did them at certain times, but I did not use them the way I use them now.
Mm.
So it was almost like a reintroduction to another level of truth of what is yoga, which I'm sure there are many more levels that I'm yet to explore.
Right.
It was another level.
Right.
Yeah.
And so for you, it's not just a practice. It is now a way of living. And I read that in your book. And as I read your words, I thought it's almost like developing and living with a mission statement, because it guides your thoughts and it guides your actions and behaviors to a certain extent.
Yes, for sure. I mean, starting with, again, another way of looking at it, so many different angles, but of the primary principle of non-harming, ahimsa, and really having to look at that for myself, you know, beyond just like, oh, well, I'm not harming anybody else, and oh, I take the spider outside, but what am I doing
right.
to myself with how I'm pushing?
Right. That's such that's such a good point, Melanie, because many of us may be doing good for others, but and not harming others, but what are we doing to ourselves when I sit and have that second bowl of ice cream and stuff every day?
Right? Debatable. Sometimes you need that second bowl.
Well, many scientific studies say that yoga helps support immune function and helps develop its resilience. So I want to just ask if you can give us an overview from your perspective, how it impacts our nervous system, how it helps support our immune system.
Absolutely. So first is that aspect of, you know, what is yoga? And yoga in its essence, it's very personal to everybody, but yoga in its essence is being kind of at peace or connected to the mind, is connected to the heart, heart consciousness, and that the mind and the heart are connected to the body, and they're all working together. I like to see it as like we're better together. So when the whole system is working together in harmony, right, then that harmony creates a, just in a nervous system response, a parasympathetic nervous system response, which is basically like a rest and digest. So any disharmony, you know, if we are perceiving any kind of threat, and I say perceiving because, you know, it's really about what we're perceiving and thinking versus the reality, right? So if you think there's a tiger on the other side of that door, there's a tiger on the other side of that door, and your body is going to respond accordingly. So every, you know, just as a side note, every ding of our email, every buzz of our cell phone or whatever, like our body will perceive a certain amount of danger or stress or need. And all of that has a you know, many accumulative effects. So when we can get our body, our mind, our heart to feel in harmony, in peacefulness, then we de-stress, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, pretty straightforward. When we're stressed, right, all the longevity functions stop getting energy, because, you know, the aspect of our nervous system, it really is meant for the tiger, so it's a little antiquated. It's like, okay, there's a tiger. Now I'm going to need to run fast. Fight or flight, right?
Right.
So I'm either going to get all the blood to my muscles so I can be really strong or I can be really fast. My breath is going to get shallow, and no energy is going to go towards longevity function. So my immune system doesn't need energy if I'm running from the tiger. My digestion, no. My hormone function, no. So those are like the three main areas that if we are in any sort of stress response, get cut off from rejuvenation, from nourishment, from right, the battery pack, basically. so our job, our yoga job, is to use whatever tools, right? It's a wonderful line in the Yoga Sutras, and basically it says, the Yoga Sutras is a thousand-year-old yogic text, seminal text of yoga, and it says, do whatever works. So, you know, we can have a lot of freedom with that. Do whatever works. So there are many tools of yoga. Do what works to bring you back into harmony. So you move out of the chronic stress response, which most of us are in, and you move into the restore response. So then your immune system gets boosted. You increase your circulation. You increase your oxygenation of the blood. You decrease inflammation. You decrease muscular tension, right? And from that, then your digestion improves. You know, everything starts to move with the circulation, and same with hormone function. So, you know, that's kind of like the overview in very, you know, layman's terms.
Right.
Why we relax.
Right. Makes sense. And I do remember I had one yoga teacher on the third week of the month. We would always do a restorative class. And I remember going first to that and thinking, well, this isn't going to do any good. I'm just lying here and I'm just, you know, I didn't really get off the floor. But the difference I felt after that class, and I used to look forward to the third week of the month every time after that.
I love that. And yes, it's like once you get a taste, the yogis call it nectar. Once you get the taste of the nectar of deep relaxation and quiet and harmony, it is intoxicating and will bring you back. And then there's all interplay on that too, where you're like, oh, I can't relax, you know, I just want to relax, and that creates stress. So, you know, there's more tools to help with that.
Right. Well, let's look at what makes the book unique. The book is called Yoga to Support Immunity, Mind, Body, Breathing Guide to Whole Health. And that's the focus, really, getting this whole health. And one of the things that makes it, well, the thing I think that makes it unique is that you address daily habits, how we think, how we move, how we breathe within the framework of the yoga practice. So would you talk to us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I feel, at least for many years, my mindset and the mindset around me seemed to be that it was big things that would make changes. You know, like you're waiting for this big thing outside of you. So that was a mindset for me personally that I've been kind of rewiring and shifting. And I learned in this journey that it's really not the big things. It's really the tiny things. And to look at that accumulative effect of my habits. And again, it's perception. So I start with the mind, which, you know, I call that fierce kindness, the ability to be able to shift your mind from harm, right, from self-violence or whatever that may look like, to positivity, you know, from fixed to possibility, moving the mind. It's the most challenging frontier for many of us, me included. So to shift our mental habits and shift our physical, when we think it, right, then we possibly say it, and then we do it. So beginning that process of how we create. So looking at the habits of, you know, what do you think, and what do you say about yourself? What do you say about others? Like, we really start to look at those habits. And then, how are you sitting? How are you sleeping? How do you move your body or not move your body? What are you eating? You know, then we go, those are more like typical. Like, you think, oh, I shouldn't eat the ice cream or whatever. That's my habit. I got my finger right on the pulse. I know that habit's not doing me.
Right.
Or not. Debatable. So we really look at that. I call them inquiries, because I feel like that is the most fertile ground. So it's not so much about asking anyone, including me, super busy person, to do an hour and a half of yoga every day. Yoga being yoga asana. So there's yoga asana, that's the movement. Everyone's like, that's yoga. Okay, yoga is being unified, mind, heart, and physical body, right?
Mm-hmm.
In harmony. So the asana is that kind of asana class. So I'm not asking anyone really to do that. A little bit is great. But it's really about, you know, taking a look and getting clear on what do you want and how to shift your mind and redirect yourself over and over and over again in a cumulative effect into creating what you want. And then we use the tools of moving the body, of clearing out the lungs. We do a lot of detox, clearing out the abdominal cavity, you know, clearing out waste. And that's where we use the tools, but to how to put them in your daily life, first thing in the morning or before you go to bed, wherever there is already a habit in place, we stick another one in there. We call it habit stacking. James Clear, a lovely author, with his book on habits, but Atomic Habits, I loved, and he calls it habit stacking. So there's a lot of habit stacking in the book.
Right, right. And I love that you focus on that, and you don't put the focus on the perfect pose, because I think so many people get caught up in, you know, mm-hmm. am I doing this posture right? Is it perfect? And I've had so many yoga I've been doing yoga since I was 16, on and off, and I kick myself every time I come off it, but, you know, I'm human. It's a practice, right?
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to find a really good yoga teacher who really incorporates the mind, body, spirit, mind, body, heart, whatever you want to call it. But it's very difficult to find a teacher who really incorporates that into their work. So I'm glad that you stressed that there.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. And I just, you know, funny, I had a lovely teacher years ago say, even bad yoga is good yoga.
Right, right.
Even bad ice cream is good ice cream. But that aspect of, like, you know, we just kind of meet it wherever we are. And, you know, maybe if we had met each other 20 years ago and I was teaching, you know, it probably was not going to be that same thing. But now I'm really teaching what has transformed my life, and that's my truth level now.
Right, right. And I have met so many people that have had their lives transformed. My very first yoga teacher was in a wheelchair. I think she was about 60, 61, something like that. But she was in a wheelchair with arthritis, and she began to do yoga sitting in her wheelchair, and then she went on to teach, and she was, you know, I'm sure she still had issues, but she was very mobile, and that really made a permanent impression on me at 16 to see that transformation there. One of the things I want to ask you, Mel, some practices breathe through the mouth. Yoga tends to generally, because there are many forms of practice, but it tends to generally breathe through the nose. What's the importance of breathing through the nose versus the mouth?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. So when we breathe through the nose, we get a couple extra benefits that are pretty substantial, especially cumulatively. So first, you know, you have the little nasal hairs, and so you're going to filter the air. So that's just kind of like as a side. And then also it kind of, you know, it gets more humid as it moves through the nasal passage and through the sinuses. So that's also kind of conditions the air, and is very helpful for the entire system. But the real benefit is nitric oxide. So nitric oxide is kind of a chemical release that will happen when you breathe, and the air goes through the nostrils and through the sinus cavities. And that helps open all of, like, the lungs. It opens up the little, like, kind of capillaries or whatever in the lungs, and it also opens it up in your through your veins and your whole blood system, circulatory system. So it helps then the body take in oxygen more efficiently. So when we're breathing through the nose, I mean, we'll mention it gives you a little bit on, you know, kind of like a hose where you have a valve on the hose. So it helps you slow down the breath and also be more skillful with how you move it into the body and how you move it out of the body. So in that way, we're most often multi-breathe through the nose.
Mm. Yeah, there are some definitely exercises even in here where you do some mouth exhalation, and that's mm-hmm. explained in full why you do that. Let's look at how the book's set up, because it's set up in three parts: clarity, detoxification, and integration. And let's take a quick look at clarity, because you say our journey to healing and whole being is a uniquely personal journey. So we must begin with a strong foundation, and we do that by creating clarity on what we repeatedly desire, think, and do. Could you expand on that for us?
Absolutely. That space of, it's, I think of like a GPS, right? You know, so we have to have, if we're going to use that GPS, you know, it can be more useful if we know where we're going, right? And just that clarity to help us get where we're being pulled to, our heart desire. The aspect as well as foundational movements, there is a certain kind of, we look at the skeleton, kind of a standard neutral with the spinal column and with all the joints. And just begin to know when we are off neutrality, because for many of us, we've lived so long, we have so many tendencies that are built in that are not in our awareness. So we kind of have to, you know, we start at the very beginning, and at the very beginning, we actually need to look back a little bit
right.
and see what happened before and
right.
what's causing whatever's happening. And oftentimes, it's some form of compensation or some form of asymmetry. And again, that I use that literal, like asymmetry in the physical body, but I also use it figuratively in just that we have a tendency to lean in one direction. So looking at that, I feel is an essential solid foundation to then move forward to know in which realm. So we're all on the same page, including this is about steadiness and spaciousness and compassion. This is a friendly journey versus a punishment journey. What have you been doing? You're doing this wrong.
Right.
I'll go detox. So us all to get on the same page that this is a kindness journey.
Right. You talk about in the book, in detoxification, we have to clear to make space. And you write that a voice woke you up in the middle of the night and said, let go or be dragged. And that made me chuckle because I've had a similar experience. But tell us what that means to you and why that was important.
It was definitely a key turning point. And that voice was so loud that it really shook me. And I had been pushing really, really hard and ignoring the cues. And for me, let go or be dragged is that aspect of, you know, in yogic kind of language, attachment,
mm-hmm.
right? Very attached to whatever ideas I had of who I was supposed to be in that moment or who I was, and not allowing myself to sit with the reality of my life at that moment, or my body, meaning I was resisting. I was resisting the present.
Right.
So for me, you know, whether you want to call it you know, intuition, or you want to call it inner wisdom, or you know want to call it a prayer and hearing guidance from, you know, something beyond you, for me it was very pivotal.
Mm. The last section of the book, the third section, of course, is very important because it's all about integration. And when we're looking to integrate yoga into our lives, you talk about how you pay attention, special attention, to transitions, openings, and closes. Could you just give us an overview of why, what you mean by transitions and why openings and closes are so important?
The aspect in our asana, or in, you know, kind of exercise, athletic exercise, is often when, you know, let's say even just weightlifting, when you pick up the weight to begin the rep is when often people get hurt, or any, you know, like we pull our low back or something, pick it up. So anytime there is that transition, sometimes we can be kind of mindless or disregard that transition and then open ourselves up for suffering or harm, right? So that was the initially where I, for me personally, over the years, I started to spend extra time on my transitions, realizing that they were vulnerable. And then from that space of realizing, kind of like risk assessment, my risk assessment was like, oh, transitions are vulnerable, right? But then as my mindset began to move more, you know, more to love than fear. So saying that, I went from risk assessment to kind of possibility assessment. And as my mind shifted from more one that was a little more fearful and a little more than to love or possibility, as I grew over time, and I started to see how magical transitions were, how much possibility was in them. And from there, from that micro opportunity, from that transition, just maybe a transition of from seated to standing, or walking through a doorway, that these were these potent opportunities to switch mindset, to redirect into a more potent way of moving and thinking. And to also use those transitions for an actual practice. You know, from that micro to that, you know, macro being, you know, it's a full moon.
Right.
It's a new moon, right? And starting to see these you know, large transition times. It's the new year, whatever it is, to begin to create this kind of ritual, habitual healing practice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and just, for me personally, it was everything.
Yes, yeah, and I love that, because I think, you know, I tend to think I'm very mindful, but I realize there are times when I totally zone out. It's like, wait, how did we get from Monday to Friday is often what I'm thinking these days. So that tells me I'm not fully present and not paying close enough attention to my openings and closings there. So I'm curious, I just want to touch very quickly on hormones, if we can. I love that it helps balance hormones too. And I love the ha-ha cleansing. Tell us about that and why it induces happy hormones, because we all need those.
Oh, we so do. The happy cocktail. Who doesn't want a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all the way through the week, happy cocktail of the happy hormones? And what I will say, I have been, you know, honored to experience multiple yogic traditions and also actor training traditions, because that's my early background. And the use of ha-ha, and in Sanskrit it's called hasya, hasya kriya, the laughter cleanse, is very real and very potent. And that aspect of it, you know, you don't have to wait for it to come to you. You can actually create the feeling inside with visualization, and also just with moving, you know, letting the belly pulse, and starting the ha sound and letting it then move. And, you know, the chemicals that are released are dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, you know, also when that is connected to a feeling of love, of connection to another being, oxytocin, you know, the bonding hormone, and that cocktail is just like a total cellular boost.
Yes.
On lots of levels. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in a class once when we did that, and it was hysterical. It was quite hysterical with everyone doing it. I love that you have illustrations in the book. You include, you know, how we're creating space, what we're strengthening. You put in precautions and particulars about particular asanas, and of course tell us how to do it. We first talked about your other book, Fierce Kindness. It was the first book I read of yours. Beautiful little book, packed full of kindness wisdom. This is a very different book. How did writing this help you grow as a writer, Mel? What did you learn from this that you'll take forward when you write your next book?
I just appreciate you and thank you for all of that. It landed, so thank you, Vicky. You know, my earlier books, I wrote in a burst of inspiration, and you know, they were copy edited and edited, but really for me they were the first draft. And, you know, I had literally an infant on my lap, one of them for sure, and a toddler at my feet. And it was just a very, very intense time for me as a human. So it felt important to write the books. And I kind of like gave up the baby of those books before I felt they were ready. And I was just happy, you know, to do good. But I was like, well, there's so much more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this book, because I'm in a different place and I don't, you know, have any real little babies anymore, and I was able to get enough sleep and get up early in the morning and all of that, was much more methodic. And so I was able to deliver the seventh and eighth version of the book instead of the first, which was, you know, it felt potent for me personally because it was probably the most dedicated I'd ever been to a project other than, you know, raising humans. And I appreciate that. It also allowed me to take, not that the other books were cutesy. So if I'm not doing, I'm not being fair saying cutesy, but I allowed myself to be almost like non-binary, like almost, I allowed my voice to just come out without too much personality known as Mel. I know there was some personality known as Mel in there, and I felt like it was my soul talking, really, like right. It was raw, more raw.
Right, right. Well, I think the time you put into this book is, your other book was wonderful, so you were not being kind to it, no. And it's called Fierce Kindness, so it's amazing. But this book certainly was worth the time that you put into it. My book is very marked up, which is always a good sign. Yeah, it's called Yoga to Support Immunity, Mind, Body, Breathing Guide to Whole Health. Melanie Salvatore August, it's always such a pleasure talking with you. What do you want listeners to know about you or the book, or what do you want to leave them with? I know they can find much more about you at your website, melaniesalvatoreaugust.com. What would you like to leave them with today?
They're not alone. You're not alone. And that you can do it one small little shift at a time. And if you want help and you need help, reach out. And if I can't help you directly, right, then there are other resources. So, and, you know, that really, that we're connected.
I love it. Thank you so much, Melanie. Appreciate your time as always.
Thank you so much, Vicky. You're a dear. Thank you.
And I want to let listeners know, if they have comments, questions, or feedback on today's show, you can find me through our website at conversationslive.net. Please join us next week. Until then, live well, live strong.
Radio is very competitive. Shows soar in popularity and then flame out. Sometimes, however, a real connection is made with an audience, and success blooms year after year. For over a decade, Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has built a loyal following thanks to inspiring and stimulating conversation. Longevity, loyalty, exclusivity. Smart advertisers seek it out. With Vicki's valuable audience, the search is over. Discover the affordable, effective ways to advertise your business. Log on to conversationslive.net. That's conversationslive.net today.